also talking about health issues and indeed how difficult it is for GPs, the length and breadth of the land. Northern Ireland's GPs have launched a campaign. It's basically aimed at encouraging patients to help ease the pressure on their services by giving a bit of thought to what they're about to do when they're booking an appointment. The GPs are hoping that people will consider their if their problem can actually be coped with in another way other than going to the GP. The Royal College of General Practitioners in Northern Ireland basically highlighting that the workload for GPs has increased significantly, indeed, in the past 10 years, but investment in general practice has not increased accordingly. Boy, we've touched on that a few times on this programme. And it said the GPs are under immense pressure. Now, there's this new 3 before GP campaign. Let me speak to Dr. George O'Neill. Dr. George, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Just briefly tell us this new 3 before the GP campaign. What are the three options?
Looking at, first of all, self-treatment. Have you got a self-limiting condition? Will this resolve itself? And lots of the viral things we get, the coughs, colds, sniffs, will resolve themselves. The second thing they talk about is get onto a reputable website. Now, I have a bit of a query about that. Is not everybody has access to a computer, not everybody is computer literate, and a significant number of our population are functionally literate in that they can recognise various names or their address, etc., but they might have difficulty coping with a website. But lots of people can use that. And the third group, the resource that we don't use and that we underuse are our pharmacists, who are very experienced, very expert, and can give advice.
Okay, so there's three examples there. Yeah, if you've got the sniffles, my goodness me, you should know how bad you are, and it's very possible that all you need is a hot drink and a night in bed.
And a few paracetamol and keep warm for a few days, yes. Oh,
okay, so that almost goes without saying. The second one slightly concerns me about going online. I've gone online. I haven't felt too well sometimes. I'm getting a bit older and I would check things up online. Every time I look online, it tells me I'm about to die. It scares me, self-diagnosis.
On the website you use, and I think this is a problem. But also, a lot of people haven't got access to a computer. A lot of people are not computer literate, so maybe we're asking too much of people, but certainly there's a percentage of people I see, and I would encourage people to look on reputable websites. The Health Service has a number of websites right across the UK, and they are very reputable, give very sound advice.
Do you have any examples of ones that we could go to and trust that they are 100% kosher, and they're not, number one, either trying to sell us something or trying to sow seeds of despair?
Frank, I have to put my hands up and surrender and say I haven't got the website address just to hand at present.
But NHS Direct, I think, is one of them.
Direct is one of them, yes. That is the one that I would refer. And I haven't got the exact www.details. But look, they're easy to find. They come up. When you go into one of the search engines, and they are very good, very reputable, and very helpful. But the resource we have all available at our doorstep are the pharmacists. We have 500 odd pharmacies right across the region. We should be using our pharmacists more to get sensible, practical advice as to how we take things forward. And when I speak about, you speak about the workload. In our own practice, our face-to-face consultation rate is increasing at about 7% per year. Now, that is undeliverable. I mean, it really is very, very difficult to cope with it. And this immense pressure has been going on for at least the last 10 years. We have an ageing workforce, so the GPs are getting older. We have a population that has more complicated conditions. Lots of the work, when I started off, that was carried out in hospital is now being moved in to look after by general practitioners. And the funding didn't move with it. So we're significantly under-resourced. We've a manpower problem. And unless somebody grasps this nettle, parts of the province are going to be without general practice because the practices are going to fold. This is a very serious problem at the moment, Frank.
We have heard this for quite a while now, and we've had examples of practices actually coming to an end in some rural communities. You see this as a serious, serious issue from, say, 2018 to 2022?
Absolutely, and they certainly, Fermanagh, Tyrone, I can think of Dungannon, Portadown, and parts of Belfast, where it is very, very difficult to get people. When someone retires, it is very difficult to get a partner. Young doctors don't want to take on the role as partners. They don't want, basically, we're independent contractors. So the young doctors don't want to be running a business, don't want to be involved in employment issues, want to practice medicine. And this is really causing major stress in the delivery of service to our patients.
So how close are we to finding it almost impossible to get a GP?
Well, I think that would be scaremongering. It's not going to be impossible. It's going to be challenging and difficult. When you look at the numbers that we have here of GPs and the number of patients that each GP is caring for, this is increasing year by year as the number of retirements occur and no one coming in to fill the spaces. And bear in mind, some years ago, the investment in general practice was about between 8 and 9%. It's now down to 6% of the total spend. And the other area, Frank, that I'm really taken with is that we spend half the block grant. That's half the money the UK government gives us on health and social care. Of that $5 billion, I repeat, $5 billion, we spend less than 2% on health promotion and disease prevention. Now, to me, that seems absolutely ludicrous. So if we're going to talk about educating the population to behave differently, we really have to look at how we can help people to prevent disease and to promote good health.
Would it help you to have a government in this country?
I take a view that...
Or is it beyond our politicians?
A politician... is an office but not in power. We have a senior civil servants and senior administrators who are more than capable of delivering the changes required, and all we need is somebody to be willing to push the button and do it.
In the meantime, you do want people to share the burden, and the pharmacists you've put in the spotlight to some extent. Can the pharmacist take all and all comers? The pharmacist's obviously making money out of everyone that comes through the door, so are they mad keen to see as many come down their path as possible?
In my work time, pharmacists have changed their role. And they really are looking at and are very keen to provide a service. And I would hope that discussions are taking place at present with the Department of Health, that they can be funded appropriately to deliver a service. If you go to lots of pharmacies now, in a private area, a room where you can go and consult with a pharmacist. Certainly now, pharmacists are independent prescribers. They can prescribe in certain areas. So there's lots of changes happening, and we have to use different ways of delivering a service to the population. The present model is over 100 years old. It hasn't changed its method of delivery in 100 years. Frank, we need to move on. We need to get into the future and use... There's lots of things. Skype, telephone triage, FaceTime, WhatsApp, all of these things. We've practiced nurses who are independent prescribers. We have physician assistants who are about to be launched in the province. So there's lots of things happening, and we have to have a willingness to take on this.
Yes, but we don't want to become too reliant on the pharmacist, however, because if for example, I've got a cold sore or a minor burn on the back of my hand, I'm likely to go to the pharmacist because they'll have the treatment for it. But, if you've a pain in your nether regions, you don't want to be talking to a pharmacist.
No, I agree. So people have to use... the public... It's almost the assumption is based that people are stupid. People are not stupid. The population that I deal with are sensible for the most part and can make a judgment. But all they need is a bit of help and a bit of encouragement to take on these new roles and really self-management. I mean, you're an expert in the management of your own diseases and illnesses, and I think we should use that more and more. And we don't. We don't encourage people to take on responsibility. And we the other area that I'm really strong on is education. We should be looking at the young people now, teaching them the emotional resilience that's needed to deal with life events, and also how to deal with minor ailments and minor problems, how to recognise when you have something serious and significant, and what you should do when it happens.
One final question, Doctor. If I phoned you today and I was your patient and said I have a sore shoulder, how long would it take me to get an appointment with you compared to if I rang and said, this last couple of nights I've had a pain in my chest?
If you phoned me today, your number would be taken down. I would get a list of phone calls that I will go through at the end of my face-to-face contacts.
So you decide then, here's the guy with the pain in the chest. He's going to get an appointment much quicker than the guy with the sore shoulder.
I would decide, and to be quite honest, if you have severe pain in your chest, I would avail of the services we have. I mean, most people now would end up going to the emergency department with a severe pain in their chest, and that's the sensible thing to do.
Yeah, but if it wasn't a severe pain, it was just a niggle, and I was like,
well,
slightly
then what you do
concerned.
Is, I would speak to you, and we would have a discussion about it, and if necessary, you'd be seen on the day.
Yeah, so there is still a chance of being seen on a day or the next day by a GP.
Absolutely, yes. And more and more GPs are now using what we call telephone triage. So I might have, in fact, some mornings, I would have more phone calls to deal with than face-to-face contacts.
Not all of them on the radio?
No, certainly not. So I'm going to have to go. Thank people will be complaining.
I do appreciate that because you did tell my producer you didn't have very long. Dr. George, thanks for your time this morning.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Dr. George O'Neill taking time out of a busy schedule just to paint a picture of how difficult it is for GPs. You 105.